Season 3, Episode 5, Dirty Laundry. It opens up with a dude dead in the laundromat and a familiar face to the NYPD Blue fan.
Yeah.
Holly is sitting on a bench, claims to have no idea what happened to the gentleman that was shot and left in the laundromat.
And what's a Sipowitz recognizes her, right?
Sipowitz and Simone recognizes her, and they use they use Russell being the third detective to explain how they already know her.
Uh-huh.
And if you watch on the DVD, and I'm sure as most people did with the previously on NYPD Blue, they mention that they've talked to this girl before, as well as the rumor mill that Lesniak's gay. And that
they also show
a random scene where John and Sipowitz talk to each other that seems completely disconnected, but it's because of a storyline within the episode. The only thing
what were they talking about again? Weren't they talking about Lesniak?
In this episode, yes. The previously on NYPD Blue, the episode that they refer to is when John is about to walk out and Sipowitz borrows his briefcase.
Oh, yeah.
It's really weird because it's like...
Oh, I think that was just to give us a heads up that John's coming back.
That John's going to be around?
They're just trying to, like, give you the hint, like, oh, John's... Like, do you remember John?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's all that is. Because they do that every now and then when, like, someone randomly pops in. Like, later on, you see with, like, certain informants, like Steve Richards... Mm-hmm. And Joey Pants' character, I think in previous episodes, they would show, like, an old episode that they were in, but just to, like, kind of give you a heads up that they're coming or that they're going to be in the episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, he did that all the time on Deadwood, too.
Mm-hmm.
There was a thing that they would do on Deadwood, like, they'd go previously on Deadwood, and if someone hadn't been in a while... And they were coming back for that episode, they would show an old scene that made no sense, but just to remind you, like, oh, like, this is that person, you know what I mean?
Yeah, these people exist.
The
opening scene is just set up that they know this girl from before there was a shooting at a laundromat. It was a guy who runs Tricks, and his nickname is Tricky. And she's claiming to have no idea why it happened. And that's basically all we know. My name's Kirk, the other voice is Kyle, and this is NYPD Blue Balls.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I realize that we have to start saying our names and which voice is which, because podcasts do that, and it's kind of important. Also,
I guess.
And also, during this point, when I play the song, I want to mention that NYPD Blue Balls is the podcast where... The Asher Brothers podcast go through every Asher Brothers podcast. I already fucked it up. Good thing the song is long. The Asher Brothers go through every single episode of NYPD Blue, the greatest show ever. Anyway, when we come back from the break...
Wait, we have a break?
Well, the break is the music. You know what I mean? They do a scene and then they the opening credits with the music.
Yeah.
The reason John's around is because as they're bringing Holly up to an interview room, John calls down to him and says, "Hey, are we going to..." And then does, like, cut motion with his head.
Oh, yeah, because he's going to give... He's giving Sipowitz a haircut.
Yeah, and we're not going in order of the episode as much anymore. Kind of want to just hit the general topics and discuss.
That's why they show that episode. That's why they show that scene.
That scene specifically?
Sorry.
With Sipowitz and...
The reason they show that scene is because they show John and Sipowitz getting along. And they showed their relationship. And it was probably the last thing that they did within their, like, friendship. And so they're kind of just showing, like, oh, this is where we left Sipowitz and John. This is the last thing they kind of did together.
And also...
We did in a scene together. So they show that, and then when it comes back, it's Sipowitz and John. John's going to cut Sipowitz's hair, you know?
Yeah. And what's anyway. Happening... Yeah, what's happening with that storyline is Sipowitz is going to get a free haircut from John, and Sipowitz at one point asks Martinez, hey, you get your haircut from John, and Martinez is like, oh, yeah, totally. I've done it a couple times now. And he mentions that it's free. And then because Sipowitz is Sipowitz, he goes, and he doesn't, like... do anything to you, right? And Martinez is cool enough to be like, no, he just cuts your hair.
Yeah.
And then later in the episode, John keeps asking and Sipowicz keeps like putting it off. And then when they finally have the cut, John... I also really love John. I've said it before. I think John's one of the best characters on the show, even though sometimes he's very stereotypical. He brings up a topic to Sipowicz because the rumor going around is that Lesniak is gay. So John is like... he doesn't say Andy. He's like, I would like to think that we have some sort of simpatico. And Sipowicz is like, yeah. And he's like, I've come under... It's been... How did he phrase it? It's like, I've been told that someone in your detective squad is homosexual. And Sipowicz just kind of like keeps quiet, and he's like, I'm a part of an organization that would really like to help her, but I want to confirm this rumor before talking to her. And Sipowicz goes, you heard Lesniak's a dyke.
Yeah.
And what John is doing, because John is like a good guy, is he's like, I want to make sure this is not just a rumor before I go talk to her and make an ass out of myself and her. And Sipowicz is just like, yeah, everyone's saying she's a dyke, whatever. Which is like kind of rude in a way, but that's just how Sipowicz rolls.
Well, Sipowicz isn't hide it. Like, Sipowicz is the type of person that's not going to hide and dance around what they're going to talk about, you know? Like, he doesn't show any tactfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just straightforward. Like, in a way, it's kind of funny, because it's like, yeah, so you want to talk about the dyke, let's go, you know? Like, it's just... And whereas John's trying to be, like, as politically correct as possible without saying those words, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just funny.
And the end of the episode for John is that he actually goes up to Lesniak. He kind of offers up an olive branch because, of course, he's an openly gay man in the 90s when it was not cool in some respects to be that way in certain circles. And Lesniak basically tells John, yeah, I just said that to get a dude off my back. John,
yeah.
And John kind of, he's like, okay, well, even if you did do that and you're still having feelings about it, I'm just letting you know that this is open for you. And then she just goes like, I guess gay people have a problem hearing too. And I was like, why do you have to shit on John? I feel like shitting on John is like punching a puppy. Like, why would you do that? There's no reason. Like, there's...
And like, the best thing about that whole arc is John just really wants to help her out because he realizes like how hard this is gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it sucks to do it on your own. He's like, I just want to help her, like give her, like, basically just being a friend and like helping her through this really like difficult situation. And she's just basically like, fuck you, you're an asshole.
Yeah. It's almost like
leave me alone. Like, she's like, I lied. She's like, I lied, okay? I lied about this very like important and very taboo subject, so leave me the fuck alone, you crazy person. And it's like, wait a second.
Like, yeah, and
you're
even
the crazy one who like did all this shit. Like, it's just funny.
It's coming from a place where like this guy, he's like, okay, well, this is a very serious situation. I don't want, like, I care about her. I care about everybody in that precinct. I'm a nice guy. And she has the attitude of like, look, I just made up an excuse to get a guy to stop bothering me. I'm sick of you offering me help. When it's like, okay. Like, why would you? That's like someone, it's like someone going, look, I told that guy I was thirsty, so he'd leave me alone. Now stop trying to give me water. When it's like, you did something that elicited a person trying to help, and your response is, no, you're a dick for trying to help me.
Yeah.
It was such a douchebag move. And he even ends it with kind of like a, yeah, well, if you're interested, like, it's just a pamphlet and you can throw it away and no one's calling you gay. I'm just saying, if you are, if you want
to. Yeah, but what I liked about that scene is while he's explaining all this to her, you can kind of tell in the tone of his voice that he's judging her very strongly.
like as a gay,
like,
dude.
Like, he's like, well, if you ever need help, but he's kind of like, it's with this tone of like, you bitch. Like, you fucking this, you that. It's just really funny.
There's basically
John takes that shit seriously. For being the years that it is, John takes that really, really seriously, and
as he should, and as that kind of character would. And there's, I guess, four storylines going on right now. John and Sipowicz, which turns into John and Lesniak. The opening scene with Holly, what they find out from her is that she was sick in the bathroom of the laundromat when all the commotion occurred, so she doesn't know who did it. She puts the finger on a guy that, I guess, because one guy sold, I wish I remember their names. Tricky is the one that got shot. She was with Howie? No, she was with another guy.
I forgot that guy's name. I forgot the other guy's name.
Jerry. She was with Jerry. Anyway, the point is, these gentlemen are arguing about a bet. One of them leaves. A different guy comes up. Those guys, according to her understanding, those guys had an argument, and one of them shot Tricky and ran. As it turns out, because we get to the guy who... And both all of the... That's another problem with this episode, I think. None of the people that they interview actually gives, like, a good interview. Because they all just kind of give it up really fast. There are some good lines, like when the guy he has one dude in the interrogation, and he's like, "Well, we're gonna need a name and address because he just gave up that guy accidentally shot Tricky," and he goes, "We're gonna need that guy's name and address," and he goes, "Well, he's gonna know it's coming from me," and he's like, "Yeah, he's gonna think ill of you. Of course, he tried to kill you earlier."
Yeah, like it's one of those episodes I think we've talked about before where what drives it is mostly isn't the cases as much as it is like the personal things that are going on, you know, like mm-hmm. even though there's that, like, yeah, there's this case, like, it's still surrounded by one thing that we haven't talked about is Sipowicz following that weird cop. It's also surrounded by Lesniak being gay and like John wanting to help. Then there's also the Sipowicz knowing Holly.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all these, like, it's not necessarily about that case as much as it is about, like, it's more of a personal story this time.
Because the case kind of comes out that this other guy was meant to shoot this one guy. He accidentally shot Tricky.
Yes, so Tricky wasn't supposed to die.
It was supposed to be the dude that was with Holly for this bet, mm-hmm. which we find out is he bet that Holly could last long in a dryer, and when she didn't and pulled out,
he bet he could last a full cycle or something like that.
And she didn't last like 5 minutes, which of course not, because it's a fucking dryer.
Yeah, because it's fucked up.
Sipowicz, Martinez, and Medavoy kind of just run a simple interrogation on that guy, going like, "Oh well, you know how the DA is going to look at this? Like, you're an assassin. You went back to get your gun, and you came back and shot the guy." And the dude says, "Well, I didn't even kill the guy I wanted to." He's like, "Oh, yeah. So this is a mistake." So they just get an easy confession out of that dude. The meat of the story, like you said, is that we find out that Holly, when they went to go pick up the first guy that they interrogate, she did get on the bus like Sipowicz suggested, but she just ended up coming back, and now she's on drugs.
Well, yeah, doesn't she say that she was like, she met this guy and... North Carolina or something, like she was on her way to Florida, met him in North Carolina, got into some shit, and that's how she came back.
Yeah, so something to that effect. Yeah. And then later in the episode, Sipowicz goes to see her and she's kicking, and he's like, "Do you need some aspirin? I'll have him bring it in." And then at the end of the episode, he gives her a card and is like, "If you contact these people, they'll help you out. You're still young, you got your whole life ahead of you." Like, and that's what really that case was about. Like, it wasn't about those guys, but that also kind of leaves off the really good moments where they are interrogating someone and they're trying to lie. So it's mostly just two dudes just being dumb assholes and then giving everything up and walking away. And the one real meaty Sipowicz moment is those two guys are put in a cell next to each other, and the guy asks about Holly, and he comes back to the cell. He's like, "You mean the girl you stuffed into a dryer?"
Yeah.
That's
when Sipowicz shows how much he really cares for him.
And says, "Yeah, you do your best to stay away from her." And he's like, "I'm going to make some changes, man. I'm going to be better." And he goes, "No, you're just going to stay away from her." The other story that's going on is there's a new guy in the department, and his name's Drucker. Ronnie Drucker, I think. And Ronnie Drucker is coming over from Vice, and Fancy's boss is basically telling him, yeah, they're bringing him over right before they nail him with IAB.
They basically have nowhere else to put him, or he's not going to fuck around or fuck some shit up, so they put him in the detective squad because they basically can trust Fancy to do the right thing. And like that's the way I kind of took it, was like Fancy's like, I got no choice. They're telling me I have to do it because they can trust us and know that we won't fuck around.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just got to watch this guy. Like, it's going to happen soon. Like, this is one of the stories that I really like, but at the same time, I feel like it's a little far-fetched. Okay, so he comes over, and then in one day, boom, you're ready to move on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I don't feel like you would transfer someone and then that day go after him. You know what I mean? Like, that felt very weird. I mean, there's a lot of things that are kind of weird, but that was just really weird to me. But I really liked the guy who played Ronnie Drucker, who played the character. I thought he did a good job creating that character and the way he acted. I thought it was really good. And he played like a really sleazy guy, and it came off well. Like, I just really liked him and Simone's.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they went together, even though they were opposites, kind of.
It's also
like Simone's like basically the Jesus of the Force, and then this guy is like Simone's the high end, and this guy's like the lowest of the low end of what like the New York police have to offer, and it's just kind of interesting to see.
And when he comes in, the guy shows up. And they meet him, and they're like, oh, well, the captain's in there with Fancy right now. And the guy even says, oh, probably discussing my impending doom. And you're like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm in some heat with IAB. Like, he just comes out and says it. And then they cut to...
Yeah.
Then they cut to inside the office, and the captain goes, look, Fancy, they got a bug on him. They know that he's with this woman who's laundering drug money. And they're going to move on him soon, but they need to move him to a different spot. So they want him over here catching until they can strike. And Fancy's like, well, why are you bringing this to me? And he goes, look, man, the chief of D's handed this to me. I'm coming to you for help. So then Fancy kind of like nods and then takes him out. And then like 5 seconds later, he goes up to Simone and goes, so there's a huge cloud over this guy. And Simone goes, yeah, he just told us. And he goes, yeah, you're gonna have to watch him. So it's like the perfect illustration of just shit rolling downhill at a job.
Yeah,
like you can hand that, you can place that same situation in any job where it's like, okay, so we got a call from upstairs and they want to do this, so you have to do it. And then that guy goes down to a lower guy and says, you're gonna have to do it.
What's also crazy is that he willingly offers up all of this, like, information about how shitty of a person he is too.
Mm-hmm.
That was also really weird. Like, I feel like if you were coming into a new department, you wouldn't just straight up start telling them all your dirty laundry and shit, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you would keep that kind of to the vest and be selective about who you're telling. Like, later on, he takes fucking Simone to the girlfriend's business where like a lot of the shady shit happens. So I felt like that was really weird, along with like him getting there and then leaving and like that same day. But again, I really liked how him and Simone played off each other. I really liked how he played the character. I thought, like, I hated the character, but that's because he was such like a scummy guy.
Mm-hmm.
I just hated that part of him. I was like, dude, this guy's an asshole. Like, you can just tell this guy's gross, but it was good. Yeah, anyways.
It also, it seems like something that would have occurred over way more episodes, like you said. Like, if this happened over, like, 3 or 4 episodes, it seems like we would have kind of rested in his character more, and we would have found all that stuff out over different stories, and then they come in with it, and then eventually Martens and IAB come in. But because they're, like, for some weird reason in some of these seasons, like, some of the stories they spend a lot of time with, like, with our main players, and then they'll bring in a guy, and then he has this huge, crazy story, but in one episode. Because, like you said, he gives up all this information, then he goes to see the woman, then when he comes back to the house, Simone straight up goes to Fancy and goes, so he just brought me to his lady's place and IAB was sitting on it. I don't want to work with him anymore. And Fancy takes him off and puts him on desk duty. And the guy's like, well, can I go see family now that I've been promoted to a potted plant?
And then, yeah.
Then he sees his family.
Yeah, he starts to become an asshole.
He sees his family and comes back, and Simone is like, he gives him kind of the business, and then the guy's like, look, man, I don't need to get this for my wife and you. And then Simone goes, oh, yeah, let me guess, you had 10, 15 years, and you have some kids? Like, that's a bunch of shit you would have figured out over episodes rather than an episode. It's good, but it's, like, so compact that... I don't know. It's nothing is lost from it, but I think something could be gained if they stretched it out. So I guess something is lost from it. That's the opposite of what I said at the beginning.
I think that's what was weird. Like you mentioned it. You could have made this like a 2-3 episode arc.
Mm-hmm.
You could have had this guy come in and then Fancy kind of tell Simone like you have to work with him. Sipowicz is going to work with, let's just say he'll team up with Lesniak and Russell. They'll team up with him and, like, they'll work together for now, but, like, we need you on him while they, like, finish building this case against him. And then over the next 2 or 3 episodes, you know, you can take him to the, like, maybe one time, I don't know, now we're just, like, just fantasizing, but maybe one episode he takes him to where the barbershop is, but he doesn't tell him what it is. Like, maybe he says, like, oh, I love getting food at this place right here. And Simone can be like, well, I don't want that. I'm going to go here. You know what I mean? Like, it's just because Simone doesn't want to be around that guy. And then that guy sneaks into the... And then Simone can, like, be like, hey, what were you doing in that barbershop? You know what I mean? Or, like, you can just build a story and keep building and building and building. But, I mean, I don't know. It's a good little mini episode, but, like... If you would have made it a 2 or 3 episode, you could have, like you were saying, put way more into it and given it, like, a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But then again, who gives a fuck about that guy?
Well, we don't, because he only has one episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
He kind of has...
I forgot to tell you, so at my job, there's this kid who works there, and his name is Ethan Putnam. And he looks exactly like...
George Putnam?
He looks like he could be, like half of his DNA comes from George Putnam. Like, it's really funny. Like, I saw him at work, and I was like, dude, that guy kind of looks like that guy. And I was just like, oh, well, whatever. And then I saw his name on the log, and his name was Ethan Putnam, and I was like, holy shit, that's so weird. it was just really funny to me.
You should get him in a Webster dictionary for Christmas. The other story that's happening is the case that Drucker and Simone get. Drucker kind of like just waves off, but Simone kind of sees what's going on and sees the writing on the wall, where a dad brings in his son and accuses a man in his building of exposing himself to his son. And the story is a little flim-flammy, and Simone picks up on it pretty quick.
It's really sad.
It's a really sad one. It's another one that if, like, that was just the whole episode with Simone and Sipowicz doing the interviews, it could have been way more, but they jammed it into half this episode. What happens is the guy makes the accusation, the kid, like, tells the story almost like it's rehearsed, and he doesn't really want to look anybody in the eyes, and Drucker just goes, okay, well... From what I hear, he didn't do anything, so what we'll say is that we have record that something like this happened to the guy and see if he stops. So they go to the old guy's place, and they let him know. The old guy's, like, completely shocked. While they're at the place, the father comes down and starts yelling at him. And Simone gives him the business outside. Then when Simone gets back to the house and Drucker is going to see family, they get a DOA, and it's that old man, and he killed himself.
Yeah, and it's really... that old man does a good job of being a crotchety old man.
Yeah, and, like, I thought the kid did a good job of being a kid who's, like, scared, but not because of what happened, but because he's like, I just have to do what my dad says, even though it's probably wrong.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it when they bring up the fact about his shoes. The kid does a really good job, like, not wanting to talk about the shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really subtle where Simone's like, oh, those new shoes?
What, Tommy? Whatever, like, he says his name.
Tommy Marcone.
And that's the other thing, like, it's interesting how it's interesting to see how good Simone is as a detective compared to him, you know, the Strucker guy. Like, Simone does those little things, like, he says the kid's name, you know? And that scares the kid a little bit, because you can kind of tell when he's like, oh, new shoes, Tommy, you can kind of see, you can kind of, like, see in the way he reacts, he's kind of like, oh, why is he saying my name, you know?
The detectives know that they have to hear it from him. So Drucker kind of just goes like, "Well, what happened, Tommy?" Like, kind of like a let's get it over with. Let's figure out what happened. And Simone is kind of like sizing up the dad and the son at the same time. And then when he goes to see the old man and sees his reaction, then sees the dad kind of come in through the door and start screaming at him, he goes like, "Well, what's the deal? What's the deal with this? Why are you so interested in this? Why are you coming down?" And then, after the old man kills himself, the guy comes by again, and Simone goes super hard on him. It's one of my favorite Simone moments so far, where he's like, did you pawn off your son's story for some new sneakers? And he's like, I don't like what you're implying. And then, like, he grabs him and throws him up against the wall. He's like, what's going on here? Is there a bidding war on this guy's place?
Then the son sees him, and the son hears Simone say something like, after the guy, I think, kills himself, he says, I hope you're happy with what you did, or something like that.
Oh, I have
and
the...
I hope your son...
I have the line here.
Your son... Yeah, go ahead.
He says, if you tried to run, like, a game on that guy and he killed himself, you ruined that boy's life, and I hope you burn in hell.
Yeah.
And then, before that happens, there's this one moment with Drucker where he's kind of, like, dressing Drucker down about taking him to his girlfriend's place with IAB sitting on it, and he says something like, Simone is on point in this episode because he's like super pissed the whole time, and he's just dropping Simone bombs. He says, and then you take me to her place where IAB is sitting on it. Did you save my life at some point and I forgot? And then
that's really funny.
And the guy's like, I deserve this, man. I was okay at my job. And like, just the look on his face after he said that. Simone says, I guess if I knew you better, that would strike me as sad.
No, it's really funny. Simone's really good. It's really, really good.
And then, what's his name, comes back after seeing his kids, and he's like, you know, that old man killed himself. And the guy goes, well, he must have been on the 5-yard line if a false report did that. And he goes, he was depressed. He was also impotent. So the guy's story was false, and like kind of like lays into him again, because he lays into him twice that he didn't run that interview right.
Yeah, because you find out the son of the old man tells Simone, right, that he was impotent, or someone.
Yeah, the son.
Someone mentions it to Simone. Yeah,
the son. He says, "My dad in '91 broke his back, and he had sexual issues, and that's why he broke up with a woman that he was seeing." So it's
couldn't get his wiener leaner.
That's right. He couldn't get his wiener leaner. I'm trying to see if there's anything else. Oh, there's one line by your least favorite character, Metavoy, that I want to highlight. Where,
okay,
when Sipowicz is getting his hair cut from John, Metavoy comes in and he says, "Hey, they're done with that guy. You can interview him." And Sipowicz goes, "Are we done?" He's like, well, I'm done with the trimming, and it came to a natural stopping point. He's like, okay, then we're done. And he takes off the shit, and he looks in the mirror. And then he's like, oh, thank you, John. We'll look at that thing you were talking about later, but I gotta go. And then Metavoy goes, hey, Andy, I thought it came to a natural stopping point years ago.
Yeah, that's a really funny, that's a really funny line.
I was like, oh, fuck yeah.
That's a really funny, quick line. That's like something Dad would say. It's definitely a dad joke.
It's Metavoy, you know? He's got to be able to throw in some good ones, or else why would we keep him around?
Fuck Metavoy. No, Metavoy's cool. Like, he just needs to stop being such a whiner. Look at all the shitty things that are happening to everyone in that precinct. And they don't whine nearly as much as that dude.
It's very true. That dude whined more than Drucker, and he lost his family, and he was about to lose everything, and he was trying to escape to an island getaway.
Yeah, but Drucker kind of did that to himself by being a sleazy dickbag.
And the end of Drucker is IAB comes to get him at the precinct. And that's one thing they tell Fancy. They're like, He just took the money out of the safe deposit box. They're ready to move in. They want to do it here. And that pisses
off. Yeah, and that pisses off Fancy, because Fancy's like, don't do it in my house. I don't want you doing it. You gotta do it in my house.
I don't think he turned into Samuel L. Jackson and then said that. But
what's his name? Simone did more. Simone was more like pissed off about it.
And he told Sipowicz, he's like, they're gonna do it here. And Sipowicz is like, really? And then kind of like just gets the fuck out of there. They come in to get him, and he freaks out and throws gunshots. And he, like an asshole, he hits the fish tank.
Yeah.
And Sipowicz runs to the fish, which I thought was a cool little thing.
And gets all of the...
Like, I think he's like, could someone get me some water? And he's like putting them in cups. I guess the question, the burning question I have, because the episode ends with them looking at his beeper. And they're having the argument. He was kept saying he was going to leave to that tropical island. And at one point, even Martinez is like, I don't think it looks that great, Simone. And Simone goes, I don't think he thinks it looks that great either, James. And he was just looking, he was just looking for an escape. Do you think he was actually going to take that girlfriend, or was he just going to leave her?
Oh, I think he was going to leave both of them. He was going to leave everybody.
He was just going to go on his own. That's what I thought immediately, too. He had the attitude of, like, fuck everything. Like, everything fucked me over. I'm the ultimate victim. I just need to get out.
Well, that's why Simone, like, was all about telling Martinez, like, hey, don't idolize this dude. Like, this isn't the career you want in the NYPD, you know? Like, you don't want to have his career. Like, yeah, he's going to buy it. He's going to have this place in the Bahamas. But he did it in a shitty way to the point where he didn't even like it, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't even like being who he was. He didn't even like who he became, you know, stuff like that, so.
Is there anything else you want to say about this episode before we end? I think I'm almost set.
No, I'm good. It's a good episode. It's not, like, one of their best. It's solid, you know?
I think it's a really, really good set of, like, three episodes, but jammed into one. Like, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, so much is going on, and so much cool stuff is going on. I just wish we had more time to enjoy it, but, you know, they made the decision, and we just watch it.
Yeah. No, it was good.
Every episode of NYPD Blue Balls is on AstroBrothersPodcast.com or linked through MixBagOfHats.com or on iTunes or Stitcher. You can find any one of those there. As of right now, the recording time, NYPD Blue is not on Hulu, but new South Park is, and those have been pretty sweet.
They have been pretty good this year.
And the new South Park game's out, and I finished it, and it's great. Anyway, have a good one. Enjoy yourself. Keep watching NYPD Blue.
Keep it sleazy.
Thank you once again for listening to another episode of NYPD Blue Balls, where the Asher Brothers go through every single episode of NYPD Blue. Thank you for being blue heads. I know we took that long break. Thanks for sticking with us. If you've already read True Blue, that short book about basically the first couple seasons of NYPD Blue, you need another one. It's called An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue by Gene Kendall. It's on Amazon for 99 cents. He sent me a free copy. I'm going to be honest, I haven't read it yet. I've been very, very busy. However, I'm going to get to it. You want to know why? Because NYPD Blue is not on Hulu yet. So don't subscribe to Hulu. Instead, go to Amazon, pay a fraction of Hulu prices, 99 cents, and read up about NYPD Blue with An Unofficial Guide to NYPD Blue by Gene Kendall. Do it. I'm going to read it soon. Okay, I'm going on a trip soon, and I don't have a Kindle, so I don't know how. But I'm going to read it because he's a fan of NYPD Blue.